Welcome! Welcome to camp. It's really great to see everybody. You've been prayed for a lot, and I'm not all prayed up. I prayed for you this morning, and so grateful that you're here, that we can hear God's word together and change, that we can change in our lives to the better, so that our walk with God is tighter and our fellowship with him is tighter and the love that we have can grow. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love and kindness to us. Thank you for bringing us to this day and time and hour so that we can hear your word, Father, so that we can get into the greatness of it, see how the believers in the first century church lived, and Father, that we might learn a lot by that to the extent that we apply the things that they applied in a great way. I pray for each and every one here in the name of Jesus Christ, for our health, our strength, our soundness of mind, and Father, for the peace that we can manifest in our lives. We leave this world behind and come here wanting nothing more than to be with you, to be with your word, and to be with each other. And I pray that this time can be a time of not only deliverance, Father, but great vision. I pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ, that the vision for our own lives can grow and the vision of your word moving can grow. So I pray for this and claim it in the wonderful name of your powerful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week is going to be a week that's filled with a lot of the word concerning how the first century church operated and what they did to succeed and some of the things that were challenging for them, and yet how they continued to move forward. It should be a tremendous time of, it's like a continuation of the advance, I suppose, in many respects. So go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And what we're going to do here to start off is read a little bit. You know, one of the greatest ways to learn the Word of God is to read it. It sounds crazy, but, you know, large portions of it at a time to get a feel for God's Word, to get an understanding. Just read it as if you were reading a book, which you are reading a book. Only this book is true, and it's filled with drama and mystery and comedy and everything else. The ass talking to Balaam, I mean, that's pretty funny. The former treaties, verse 1, have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or death by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode all these men. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names were about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man, who's Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, so much as the field is called in their proper tongue, Alkadama, or Dama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let this habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when he was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, aren't these all which speak Galileans? And how? Hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and all the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, all kinds of people. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what's this? What meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are filling new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is about 9 o'clock in the morning. You have to wait a little while. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out of those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which we now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour being the ninth hour, around 3 p.m., and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. He lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together into them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son. And he continues to preach. And it's in some respects very similar to the preaching in chapter 2, where he addressed them for what they did, how they were responsible for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, but how God had raised him from the dead. In verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Very similar to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, as it said in Acts 2:38. And he finishes his preaching, and verse 1 of chapter 4 says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eveningtide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of these men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they said, well, what power, by what name have ye done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If this day we be examined of the good day done to this impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they couldn't say anything. Nothing against it, sorry. When they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. They had their meeting, saying, what are we going to do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. It's manifest unto all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge you. For we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they could punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. I would like to share a little bit on believing versus fear. I'd like you to go to John chapter 20. It's really great to do what I just did in your own private lives. Just read the word. That took 13 minutes to read basically four chapters. 13 minutes. And there's a lot of information there, but you know, as you read it, it's like a book. You don't stop every paragraph in a book and go back and look what you just read. You keep reading. You keep reading. God's word like that, especially where there's stories involved, you know, where it's like the Old Testament stories or the Gospels. It's great to just read right through. You know, you might not get everything. Read right through. Then read through again and maybe mark something that you might want to look at. But here in the book of John, I thought this would be a great way to start camp because of how important this lesson is. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Here these disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Think of how far they came in a very, very short period of time from being men who were behind closed doors for fear that anyone would see them. Any of those Jews would see them. Look at Matthew chapter 26. They came a long way from men being filled with fear to these men that we just read briefly about in the book of Acts. Matthew 26, verse 69. Matthew 26, 69. It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Now, is this before the crucifixion or after? But he denied before them all, saying, I don't have any idea what the hell you're talking about. Jehu? And when he was gone out into the porch, he probably was a little embarrassed, went out on the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow here was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I swear I don't know anything that you're talking about, this Jesus. I don't know Jesus. Never heard of him, don't know him, never been with him. This was one of Jesus's top men. Let's keep reading. And again, he denied it all. Okay, verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely also art one of them, for thy speech bewareth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, you son of a bitch, I have no damn idea who the hell you're talking about. And then the cock crowed. That's what the word said. He was cursing. He was cursing. If Peter can do it, I can do it. You know, something, right? Man, oh man. Peter was filled with fear. He was a man who stood with Jesus. He was a man who spent all kinds of time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he denied him. He actually denied him six times before the cock crowed. Something. Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. So he went from denying the Lord Jesus Christ six times. He went from being hidden behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Do we do that? Do we hide the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we afraid? Hope not. Shouldn't be. Luke 8, verse 22, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. Little boat ride. So they go for a boat ride. And he said unto them, let's go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed and he fell asleep, some host he is, and there came down a stormy of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and awoke him and said, Master, 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 we're going to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased. That old wind ceased, the water calmed down, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where's your believing? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying, what kind of guy is this? What manner of men? He commandeth even the winds of the water, and they do obey him. This happened to me. I was on a boat heading towards someplace, and we were on the bottom of the boat, the lower level of the boat, and there was an upper level of the boat, and the boat flipped in the middle of a thing. All the people on the top of the boat flew into the water. And all the people on the bottom of the boat freaked out. My wife was pregnant with Jody. And she was concerned that she lost her camera. So, but then the boat went back where it was supposed to go. But people were, you know, screaming. And there was some blood involved. And I stood up and I prayed. I said, everybody listen. Of course, nobody listened. But I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ that the spirit of fear would leave and that the winds or the water would be calm and that nobody was injured really badly. And sure enough, as soon as I prayed, the water was completely calm because of God. And I wasn't afraid. And the people got back onto the boat. Nobody said, you know, thanks for that prayer, buddy. Good prayer. Good damn prayer. No, I know. And I didn't expect that. I didn't really care about that. It was what God wanted. Even though the situation looked crazy, the winds were tempestuous. It flipped the boat over. People flew off the side. Well, everyone was recovered. Everyone got to their destination and it was fine. So this isn't just a book. This is life. It's life. And when I got back to my hotel, then I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, what just happened? The adversary tried to kill us. But fear versus believing is a constant battle amongst people. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Verse 23. Did I just read this? No. And when he was entered into his ships, his disciples followed him, and behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch as that the ship was covered with waves, but he fell asleep. Well, it's the same record. But it reads a little different. Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And that's a question that Jesus posed more than one time. It's a cause that he would remove in his prayer life when people had illnesses or physical opportunities. At times he would pray that fear would get God. I'm thinking of the guy that got, that was sins be forgiven thee. But he addressed this fear issue again here. You're fearful, O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds of the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, if we're full of fear in our own lives, how are we supposed to help people overcome fear? You could read him a scripture, but to be very effective in your sharing, it should be things that you've lived. It should be things that aren't just words on a page for you, but things that we live. We can't really help people to overcome fear to the degree that we could if we had no fear in our own lives. If I'm teaching people how not to be afraid, and then I'm afraid all the time, that makes me a hypocrite. Not the word I'm sharing, but the life I'm living. But the way to overcome fear is by having confidence, trust, and believing in God and God's word. Have confidence, trust, and absolute believing in the word of God. Just as you believe that seat that you're sitting in would hold you. You didn't even really think about it. You knew what was available, how to receive it, and you knew what to do with it after you got it. You sat there. That's how believing is. It's not sitting there praying for 3 days. It's an assurance. It's a trust that God's word is right. It's just the way it is. It's a lifestyle. It's a way to live. Well, we read here in the Gospels these verses that indicated that the apostles were afraid. Right? Are you here?
Yes.
That's nice. Because God's word's here. Something changed. And we know that it was about 50 days after them being all afraid was the day of Pentecost. And then they have this preaching. I'll tell you one thing that happened. That is something that we do or don't do every day. We're used to doing it, and we're used to not doing it every day. It's called listening. It's called listening and following and obeying. We do that every day, and sometimes we don't do that every day. We should listen, follow, and obey someone who's always right. That might not be your boss at work, but it's still a good idea to do what they tell you to do. But who's our real boss? Should be God. They finally, these apostles finally got around to listening, obeying. You know what happens? You think you know more than God sometimes, Or you think you know more than the person you're asking for help. Why are you asking a person for help if you're going to argue with them? They finally got around to listening, obeying, following what Jesus Christ told them to do. You see, Jesus Christ was the Word in the flesh. The reason he was the Word in the flesh is he had confidence, trust, and total believing on what God's Word said. Always. He walked on God's Word perfectly. He talked God's Word perfectly. And he believed God's Word perfectly. Therefore, when he told them things to do, he was giving them what? God's Word. Because he walked on it perfectly. So, finally, and we see many times in the Gospels where they did not listen, where they did not follow, where they did not obey. And we also see the results of that. They finally got around to doing those things. In Luke chapter 24, Luke 24. Because there's no way Peter could have delivered that sermon that he delivered, those sermons really. In Acts 2, Acts 3, and Acts 4, he's teaching, he's preaching, he is letting them have it. He's telling them, you're the ones who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he doing that when he was behind closed door for the fear of the Jews? Was he doing that when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ and even cursed somebody out because of it? No, because he was full of fear. That's why. Luke 24, verse 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. This is the promise of the Father. They did it. They listened. Acts 1. I wonder what would have happened had they not. What do you think would have happened? Who knows? I've sat around thinking about that before. What would have happened if they wouldn't have done that? I don't know. I really don't know. So they listened. Look at Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, and this is the same time period, that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So there's the first thing. Don't leave Jerusalem. I remember when we first started doing fellow labors about 20 years ago, what did you guys have, an 8-mile radius, Dean, where you could go? What?
Yes.
What do you mean about that?
I remember
the number 8. It was 8. And all of them, you know, had to go 9 or 10 or 50. But I don't know that what I told them was revelation either, but I kind of knew they'd do that anyway, because I would have done it. When I did fellow labors many, many years ago in 1974, our minister, Reverend Del Duncan, told us we were not allowed to go to bars and go out drinking. We couldn't do any drinking. We couldn't go out and drink. So I figured I got a good idea. I'll buy a 6-pack, put it on a rope, and then bring it up 2 floors to our room. It worked beautifully once. anyway. So, being assembled together with him, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, number one. Number two, but wait for the promise of the fathers. Waiting is one of the hardest things for people to do. People just do not like to wait. I don't like to wait. Nobody likes to wait, but the instructions were what?
Wait.
Wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father, you know, was wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power up from on high in Luke. So it says, wait. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hints. See, there's a distinction between water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here. So he told them to wait, and he told them to wait to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there came, appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? When we have no fear, we're able to manifest God's power. Whenever and wherever we have fear in our lives, in those areas, we cannot believe God's word in the way it's made to believe. So wherever we have fear, we can't manifest it. Not in a great way. And when a person is filled with fear in their lives in certain areas, they don't manifest much power at all. You know, you could teach the word and be filled with fear. As Peter went from being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews and denying the Lord Jesus Christ six times to a man that was totally confident, a man with courage, a man who was fearless, a man who trusted God, a man of believing. He was a changed man. We read those preachings. Hearken unto me. He didn't say that when he was hiding behind closed doors or people saying, hey, you knew Jesus. And he said, F you. I did not. I don't know him. Who? You got me mixed up. Look at 2:14. But yeah, here, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Holy mackerel. Man, hearken to my words. Look at verse 22 and 23. Ye men of Israel, it's the same preaching. Ye men of Israel, hear those words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Ye men of Israel, hear my words. That takes boldness to say that to somebody. It's like, listen to me. No, listen to me. Yeah. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved unto God among you by signs, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He wasn't messing around. Something changed in this human. And again, this human, he was human, just like you and me. Look at verse 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Yeah, it's something that's come up, you know, it comes up every day with me. Diane's always talking about the hope. Drives me crazy with the hope. He's coming back. It's awesome. What a reminder. And here Peter said his soul shall rest in hope. Our soul should rest in hope also. Our soul lives. He's coming back. Look at chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Oh, not again. Should have heard it the first two times. He's letting them have it. He's not messing around. Both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? Boy. And he shared the word with them. told them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, the result of it was about 3,000 believed. About 3,000 believed. That's 3,000 human beings getting born again of God's Spirit. 3,000 human beings. Something. Something changed in their lives from being fraidy cats to being able to deliver a sermon like this without notes, without a concordance, but with the Word of God living and real in their lives. And do you realize the incredible courage it must have taken to do this? The trust, the confidence that Peter must have had in his heart at this particular point in his life to be able to deliver something so direct? Nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit in the living Word takes the fear out of people. That's what does it. You got fears? I got fears. Nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit in the living Word can take the fear out of a person. Acts 3 again, verse 1 through 8. Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. I don't know why, he needed legs. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He wasn't doing that a little while ago. He was so afraid. This was by revelation that he did this. So he said, "Look on us." And this man who was lame listened. He gave heed. He listened. He paid attention to them. And he was expecting to receive something of them. And Peter sensed, "No, this isn't it. Silver and gold is not what I'm here for. But what I have, I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he lovingly helped him by the right hand and helped him up. And he walked and he leaped and he praised God. And this believing inspires believing in other people. Because the result of this notable miracle and Peter's preaching afterwards was about 5,000 believed. Heck, here's a person who's been lame since the time they were born. Never knew what it was like to walk. Never knew what it was like to even take a step. I don't know what God did there. I don't know how he strengthened his legs and made it flexible enough to where he could not only walk, but leap. I don't know what God did there. But I do know that the challenge it would be for many of us, if there was a person who had never walked before and you walked by thinking, whoa, I could do this. And then not just thinking that, but saying, "Look on us." See, no, we're not here to give you money in the dish. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, there may have been more conversation than that. I don't know. There may not have been also. How do you know there was more conversation? I don't know. I just know what I can read. And I know that it took some courage on the part of Peter and John to be able, with all confidence, all trust, all assurance, and all believing, to know that this was the time. This was the time. Heck, I've seen people asked if they could get prayed for, if they'd gotten prayed for. You know, nah, no big deal. Maybe we ought to make something like that a priority in our lives, getting healed by getting prayed for, or healing others by praying for others. Sometimes I think we're so dry spiritually that we don't even consider that. The first thing you do is take an Advil. First thing you do is you make a doctor appointment. Then you get prayed for. Why not get prayed for? It took courage on the part of Peter. A lot of courage. And believing, you can see right here in a couple chapters, this inspires believing in others, doesn't it? People got born again as a result of that. I remember how excited we were when John Ransom walked all the way across that room. Never did that before. That was pretty dang exciting. But why not? Why not? It's God's will. It's God's word. And it's not to mean you're condemned if we don't believe that, but, you know, it's available. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow believing. And if we really want to see an increase in the amount of people that go to our fellowships, we need to operate the manifestations. All nine. Tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. Only nine. And why not? Peter did it. I don't ever remember denying the Lord Jesus Christ six times, even before I was born again. Something. We can't be people that are filled with fear. We got to be people who believe who we are. People who believe what we have and what we're going to be. Look, why are you here? Are you here because of some obligation? Don't answer. Are you here because it's a nice social gathering, because you get to see people you haven't seen? Those are all, that's all right. But that shouldn't be the reason that we're here. It should be to increase our fellowship with God and so that we can help other people. And it's available. It's available. When's the last time you kicked out a devil spirit or even knew one was there? Well, it's available. And it's not like there's no devil spirits anymore. That's the cause of most everything that's bad. Hey? Fear has ruined more people than anything I know. It just screws us all up. We got to believe who we are. We got to believe what we have. And we got to believe where we're going, which is the gathering. And we can do what the Word of God says we can do. We can. And you don't need to be a minister. You don't need to even know a ton of word. You just need to believe what you do know. And there's no reason for fear when God's word and God's love and the believing of that word are present. There's never a reason to fear. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, that's God's word. And we sure have seen this. I know we have, all of us. Man, when there is a whole abundance of love present, like there is here, our fears dissipate because we're around love all the time. When your home is like that, it's a healing place. It's a place of safety. It's a place of just blessing. That's what our homes ought to be. Not of strife, not of worry, not of anger. Are you the person that's angry all the time? Well, guess what? Your house is angry all the time then. People walk into your house and they feel like there's anger there. Or is it a place filled with safety, love, peace, joy? healing. I don't care what your furnishings are, neither does God. But is there love in it? These things put something out. These plants and everything puts something off. So is it with our lives. Our lives put something off. And if we're in the habit of believing God, you'll walk confidently. There'll be that, and it's not a braggadocious thing. It's just, you know, God's there. He's with you. He's got you. It's like I always say, he's got you. God has you, you know. But we got to believe who we are and what we've got. And we need to believe that there, fear goes when love is present. Love is present here. The fear that's here has got to go. It's got to go. That's right. When somebody asks you to pray for them for physical or spiritual opportunity, it takes complete confidence and trust and believing and reliability on God to do the job. Can't have any doubt when somebody asks you to pray or to minister to them. You can't have any doubt. Because you have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. So do I. That's a pretty powerful authority that we've been given. But it takes total reliability on God. It doesn't take your sense, knowledge, perception. Oh, he's limping. Oh, you know, and you pray for all this stuff that you don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You know, I don't ever see 14 paragraph prayers of Jesus Christ when he prayed for somebody. Every blood cell and hemoglobin. You don't even know what hemoglobin is. Shut up about your hemoglobin. That the sugar could be replaced with oxygen. If God tells you to do that, do it. But if not, shut up. You ain't a doctor. And I'm a vitamin C. Man, you're not. Don't mess around when it comes to that. And that will make you more sure and more confident. The way you get more confident and more sure about that stuff is not relying on yourself or your past experiences. Because experience is no guarantee for truth. Truth is a guarantee for truth. Truth works every single time. My experience does not. You know. Here, you know, in Acts anyway, where they minister to that lame man, Peter and John were not messing around. You're not messing around when you say, look on me. You better not be, or you'll get laughed out of the joint. Nothing will work. But if that's what God tells you to do, then dang it, do it. Boy, we've seen some great healings in our day and time, spiritual and physical, as a result of God. And in the case here of the lame man, they knew that this was God's will at that time, at that moment. Jesus Christ had walked by this man many times. He never ministered to him. Why? No revelation. God didn't tell him to. Could Jesus Christ have healed him if God told him to? You got a bunch of doctrine now going all over the place. You can heal anybody anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter if God tells you or not, but they have to get healed. And you know what happens if they don't get healed? Great condemnation. You know, if it's God's will and it's something God wants, you'll be the first one to know it, but expect him to tell you, dang it. They didn't mess around. They knew this was the time. They knew it was the then and there. They weren't thinking, what if he doesn't get healed? They weren't thinking, I'm going to make a fool of myself if he doesn't get healed. And I know this by experience too. I gave you a good one, I'll give you a bad one. We did a day in the Word down in southern New Jersey or central New Jersey. We're still trying to figure out what that is. But And I was up there leading songs and stuff. And I was, I'm sure that God said, do a ministering service. But it wasn't part of the program. And then I'm thinking, oh, my God, well, I don't know. I talked myself out of it. Next day, I got calls all over the place. At least 12 or 15 people threw up and got really, really sick that day, that night. And yeah, I know there was a reason for it, but God told me to do a ministering service. Damn it, and I didn't do it. And I felt so, maybe you do know. It just, I missed it. I had it. It was there. People could have gotten healed. They wouldn't even know they got healed, but they'd have been healed. And I blew it. And, you know, once you get knocked down, you drag your butt off the ground and you get back up and you go, okay, I'll do better next time. You know. But Peter and John, in this case with the lame man, knew without any shadow of a doubt that that was what God wanted and that that was the time to do it. Look, I hope you're here to grow and not just to take up a seat. Because God's word is really simple. It's simple. You don't even need to know Greek. Just read. God hasn't changed, neither is his word. And not too long before this great miracle happened with the lame man, these men were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. What changed? Well, they did. Because they listened, they trusted, they obeyed and followed and believed the instructions of Jesus Christ. He told them what to do. He told them what to do. And sure enough, and they didn't know how long they had to wait. It wasn't wait 10 days, you know. It was wait. And they did. And the result of them listening was they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. And not only did they do that, it opened up a whole avenue wherewith Peter stood up and, man, he laid it out. Some of the greatest teachings in the Word are right there in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. You can't top those. They're unbelievably wonderful. I think it's chapter 2, he goes through the whole dang Bible practically. You know, he's laying it out. He did. It's just beautiful. Just like you when you're out speaking the word. Somebody has a need, man. You're right there. You share because you care. You give your heart. You give your life. And you believe God and you share God's word. Boy, it's still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word does the trick, man. That is the answer. You know, you're sitting there and you barely witness, let's say. Barely, I don't know what that means. You kind of witness, I know. You say, hey, God bless you. Next thing you know, and I know this from my own life as well as all these fellow laborers that I've had the privilege of working with, and, you know, all of a sudden this person opens up their whole life to you. You know, and you're like, whoa, I didn't even ask for this. And they're telling me stuff about their families and how badly they've lived and why. They want help. They want the world need. The band that got me in the word that wrote a song, we've got what the whole world's looking for. What a line. And you do, and so do I. Think of the world in its wonderful state today. It's worse than ever. It's really bad. The only vestige of hope for the entire world is you. But we don't believe that. And my prayer is that we'll believe it a lot more as a result of this week. These men were afraid, filled with fear. But they listened. And the result was they manifested God's word. You see, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without believing. Let's go there just quickly. 11, I think it's 11:6. Used to be. But without believing, it's impossible to please him. And the rest of the verse is so great. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That sounds, why? Of course, of course. We're not praying to air, A-I-R. We're praying to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Good. One of the reasons I take so long between calling on somebody for tongues interpretation and prophecy is I want to take it in and not forget it. Because that is the creator of the heavens and the earth speaking to us. Words that build us up. Words that encourage us to a more worthy endeavor. And words that will calm us down from God. That's why I didn't want these guys to miss the manifestations. No way. What I'm sharing from the word, I might miss a couple things. When God comes forth with manifestations, there's nothing missing. It's God. So then the rest of this verse says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not just the first part, but if the second and third part of this verse is believed on the heart of a person, then we will believe. And it will please him. Every time we believe, it's impossible to please God without believing. You could be the nicest person in the world and not please God because you're not believing him. Think about that. It's good to be nice. Or you could be the biggest jerk in the world and believe him. And you'd please God, well, I don't know about being the jerk, but your believing would please him. Your believing would please him. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we increase our believing. As long as we're believing what the word says, we're in good shape, man. Because fear goes, fear goes. Fear of failure, fear of what somebody says. Fear of not getting a good enough job. Fear you're not going to take care of your kids. Fear that your kids are going to hate you. Fear that your kids are going to love you. I don't know. Fear, fear, fear is everywhere. Fear you'll never have a girlfriend. Fear you'll never have a boyfriend. Fear you'll never have a husband. Fear you'll never have a wife. Fear you'll never have kids. Fear, fear, fear. Fear you're going to get a disease. Fear you're going to get another disease. And then you're going to get another disease on top of the disease. Fear, fear, fear. They have these brilliant commercials. This will help you in your kidneys. So that part lasts 7 seconds. Then the remainder of the commercial is you're going to die, you're going to commit suicide, you're going to turn into a homosexual. You know. But your kidney will feel better. I mean, come on, man. Really? It's fear everywhere, even when they're supposedly giving you a remedy. Hey, here's the remedy. But here's the consequence of that remedy. You'll die. You know, come on. Fear is promoted and promulgated everywhere. That's why we're exposed to it a lot. And we have the tendency to buy into it sometimes. That's why another reason for the wonderful family of God, to help remind each other of the word of God, which gets rid of the fear. You know, that's what gets rid of it. Yeah. As believers, we too, just like Peter and John, have the word of God that's faithful and totally reliable. We can change from being victims of fear to victorious living by believing. We can go from fear to total confidence, trust, and believing in God's word. I want to close in Isaiah 35. So, You know, we pretty much read Acts 1 through 4. And we saw, you know, Jesus Christ's last instructions. His last instructions. That they would be witnesses to everybody throughout the whole world. Even as many as are afar off. That's you and me. And then they spoke in tongues. Everybody heard them speak in their own language. They thought they were drunk. And that roused, I don't know what happened to Peter, but boy, he just let it go with the word of God. And the result was about 3,000 believed. And then it shows the great template of the word of God. Then it shows how they got in trouble. And then it shows how they prayed for somebody. They got healed and they got in trouble, always getting in trouble. But people were getting saved. They were getting born again. They were getting healed. They were getting delivered. They were getting what God wanted them to get. The adversary will always come around after something great happens and try to kick you in the teeth. Well, it's okay. It's not fun, but God will win if you stay faithful. You got to stay faithful. You got to be, well, I'll get to that some other time maybe when I share. But Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So let's believe God and his word, whether it's written or spoken, so that we can get the benefits of what he's made available to us, and so that we in turn can give that to others. Father, thank you for your love and grace, and thank you, Father, for your word and how awesome and how powerful it is. I pray for everyone here, for you opening our ears, so that we can hear the word that we need to hear so that we can be the best for you that we can be in our physical lives and everything else. We know what you've given us spiritually, but we'd sure love to manifest more in our lives. And we can do that by believing what your word says. So thank you, Father, for the rest of the afternoon, for people getting settled in and being ready to hear your word tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Love you.